Man, hello everyone. Good evening. Everybody had an awesome week so far? Man, we've been blessed. We're alive. We're on this side of the dirt. Amen. We're blessed. Tonight, we are going to start lesson two in module two. And does anybody want to start us off in prayer? Anybody? All right, I guess I will. Lord Jesus, we thank you, we praise you. You're awesome, God. We ask you, Lord, be with us tonight. Lord Jesus, as we study your word, Lord, help us to get something from it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our lesson is gracious communication. Our focus is when we see God's help in being gracious in our communication, we can demonstrate God's love to others. Gracious, in the King James definition, means to show favor or kindness. Communication, in the King James definition, is to impart, to give to other, or to retain. Anybody would have a testimony or something they would like to share from our last week lesson or something that they went through this past week or maybe a couple weeks ago from our other element classes? Anybody got anything they wanted to share? I've been trying to talk to other people in a little bit more in places I go. If I go to the grocery store, to Walmart, I try to make a point to say, try to carry on a conversation. That's something I'm learning through these element classes. Our open discussion tonight is, do you consider yourself to be a good communicator? Anybody in this room consider themselves Sister Candy? I believe that. Sister Candy, you like to talk. You like to carry on conversation. Someone talk or someone. That's right. That's right. That's what I love about you, Candy. If I need somebody to talk to, I can always count on Sister Candy. Yeah. Anybody else consider themselves to be a good communicator?
I think that part of communication is just as much listening as it is talking.
Yes, sir.
And I am a great listener, evidently,
because we talk. That's good. That's good. Yeah, anybody else consider that stuff being a listener? Sister Amber.
And so I seem like I have a lot of opportunities to connect people in a lot of different ways. It makes me like really happy when I happen to like have heard something or seen something or know something and I hear somebody else that's looking for that thing or wondering that thing and can connect them. That's something that since we moved here to my neighborhood that has really been important for me to do is to create a lot of connections. I've lived in neighborhoods
Yes.
Whatever,
how much
that has brought me joy, and I think it
has brought them joy. Yeah, that's good. Anybody else consider themselves to be a good communicator?
In certain things.
I think it also depends on who you're talking to. I mean, with me, there is, I might be able to go to, I work in welding at this supply industry. So all these guys that come into the welding supply industry, these workers and stuff like that, I can carry a conversation with them easy, very easy. But to me, I don't play golf, so I couldn't go in a golf course or a golf house and carry on a conversation real too easy. So I think that depends on who you're talking to too. What all is involved in effective communication? What are some things that is involved?
I think you have to know your audience.
Yes, sir.
I talk to kids differently than I talk to adults.
Yes.
Because they're not going to understand what adults understand. But yet you communicate the same thing to two different audiences. You have to present it.
Yes, sir. Anybody else? Yes.
Be sure to recognize the opportunities that God gives to you. From the standpoint, you know, I've got more doctor's appointments than I'd like to think of. But,
yes.
You know, I've noticed I would sit there in the waiting room, all kinds of people, and everybody just would sit there, you know, because I don't know them, they don't know me here. But, you know, if you could just have some little something and come to the Lord used a situation the other day where a family brought their child in who was all over that place, bouncing off the wall. Everything you can imagine, things they were thinking of. Some other old-time people, older people that were getting a little upset, and it opened the door for us to talk about it in the way that we should be in charge of our children. But you just need to recognize the opportunities that God gives to you. And if you'll open up, you'll be surprised at how the conversation will go.
Yes.
And God will get the glory from it.
Yes. Okay. There are a few I have written down. Friendly. Being friendly is being involved. Being confident. Being observant and being sincere. Our scripture tonight we find in Acts 15, 1 through 32. We won't read all of that. If someone would find Acts 15, 1 through 2 and verse 12. Acts 15, 1 through 2 and verse 12. I'm going to read a little bit from the beginning of 15. Some men came down from Judea and began to teach the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom prescribed by Moses, you cannot be saved. But after Paul and Barnabas had engaged them in serious argument and debate, the church arranged for Paul and Barnabas and some others of them to go up to the apostles and elders in Jerusalem concerning this controversy. When they had been sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Philadelphia and Samaria, explaining in detail the conversation of the Gentiles, and they created great joy among the brothers. Let's skip down to Acts 15. I read 1 through 2. Summary 12. Someone read 12.
Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring on earth the wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them.
Okay. Our spiritual relationship with God is reflected in the practical way, such as in our commitment and gracious communication. The practical life skills is very important, vital for building relationship and navigating conflict. In the story, we read that after the day of Pentecost, thousands were added to the church. As the message of Jesus' resurrection spread like wildfire, it seemed like everybody wanted to know what was going on. They wanted to know more about this new movement. If we read on, Paul was, his mission was to spread this incredible joy, the new of baptism in Jesus' name and filling with the Holy Ghost with the Gentiles. We can also read later on that, in the beginning, the 120 was in the upper room and thousands was, early converts was, thousand was converted. Well, thousands of the early converts were all Jewish. We need to realize right here that everyone in the upper room was Jews. Everyone that was in the street and received the Holy Ghost was Jews. And they just assumed that this new movement was just for the Jews. And Paul was trying to explain that the Holy Ghost was poured out for all flesh, no matter the race you are, the culture you are from, no matter wherever you're from, the Holy Ghost was for you. You didn't have to follow the law of Moses anymore. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was ripped, the new covenant took place, and we can approach God with in a different light than trying to follow a lot of rules and regulations. What is our typical instinct when disagreement arises? What's usually the first thing our instinct when we face disagreement? Anybody have any idea? What they feel. A lot of time in disagreement, you know, the first thing, your flesh wanted to rise up. You wanted to start to argue. You wanted to try to prove your points. Anybody else want to try? That's right. No, nobody wants to be wrong. That's true. I think Proverbs said it like this. All men is right in their own right eyes. All people is right in their own eyes, and everybody wants to be right. That's a good point, Brother Anthony. When do you think, in this instant, in this story, the church should choose to come together and address the issue? We just read that, you know, Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement. It was they wanted to take it to the apostles. I think that was just because they wanted to keep it from getting out of hand. You know, when you face something like that, it is good to do whatever it takes to get it out of hand. Try to resolve the issue. Does anybody want to address that? Page one, with the number one, the challenge of communication. In response to God's work of transformation, we want to reflect His love to others. Yet we live in a world of broken people, and we still human, and which make communication challenging. We need God's grace and guidance in our communication. Will somebody find Ephesians 4:29, and someone find James 3:8-10?
Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear.
Okay. Anybody has James 3, 8 through 10?
For the tongue can no man tame. It is a thundering evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore, blessed be God, even the Father, and share with cursed men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be.
Yes. So what kind of words should we avoid? Corrupt words. What are our words good for? What is the words good for? According to Ephesians 4:29. Edifying. Edifying. What can we impart through our communication? What can we impart through our communication?
Grace.
Kindness. Kindness and grace. And then what are our words difficult to control? Why are our words difficult to control?
Sometimes they slip out.
They slip out. Yes. That's right. Sometimes they slip out. Brother Renault.
I know that I've got myself in trouble like this, and we all have. Learn to think before you speak.
Yes.
Look before you leave. And it's more easier said than done, but you know, if you can quickly analyze the situation you're in and be able to think of a plan that's not going to be offensive, that can at least accomplish, get you from point A to point B to point C. But it's a thought process, and that's where the Holy Ghost comes in, because he said, I will lead you and guide you into all truth.
Yes, that's right. That's good. I love the scripture where it says, study to be quiet. Sometimes we have to study to be quiet. Pause. The pause button, you know. When I think about pause button, I want to go way back. The VCR days. Pause. And a sermon that I don't ever forget, I love this sermon by Brother Booker, was called E plus R equal O. And which, what that means is, there are always going to be an event to take place in your life, your event. Then there is a response to the event. And the response to the event is always going to bring an outcome. So, you know, so whatever you say, you need to be able to pause and think. I like how Brother Roberts says about email. You know, when you type that email out, stop. That's right. Go get you a Coke. If you're upset about something, just step back for a minute. If you're writing a letter, let's step back for a minute and let's think about it before we send that letter out. Brother Anthony.
You can be right in the situation and still say it the wrong way.
Yes. That's right. This is Lisa.
Brother TJ, I've learned through the years that personality types also plays a lot, is a lot into play here, because for me, I'm very direct. If you're talking to me, I want you to be direct. Like, don't fluff it up. Let's move on and come up with a plan. But for some people who don't have my personality type, sometimes that direct can wound them or at least make them retreat. So I try to always just pause and go, okay, they may not be as headstrong as you are, so dial this back a notch or two.
Yes.
You know, you don't ever put back someone in a corner with your words, even if you didn't need to.
Yes.
So I try to be very careful in how I say things now. And I learned that from saying a lot of wrong things at the wrong time to the wrong people. So.
Yes. That's good. Oh. I was went by a gas station about a year ago and was going to get something to eat for lunch. And the place wasn't in a good area where I was at, but I got out of my truck. I always scan the parking lot. So I always scan the parking lot before I go into the store. Well, I scanned the parking lot, made contact with this guy just for a second. I mean, not even, maybe just and walk in. Well, this guy followed me into the gas station and just came right up to me this close and asked me what my problem was. Well, you know, why are you, what's your problem? You want a piece of me, you know? He was, and I do have a temper. I tried to control my temper the best way I can with God's help. He helped me control my, that day, he did. I could have said something, but instead I used a pause button and all I said to him, hey, I'm sorry, you just look like Tracy. Tracy's the guy I used to work with down at the plant, which he did, and maybe that's the reason I just made eye contact with him. Hey, you look like Tracy, but I didn't use a attitude. I just say calm voice, man, you look like Tracy. If I offend you, I'm sorry. He just looked at me and shook his head and turned around and walked out. So yes, I think of how you use the words, through ministry and stuff. I have came across, like Sister Lisa was saying, I have came across people that is outspoken and just a, you know, a strong voice and stuff like that, and it takes me by surprise until I get to know them, because with somebody with a strong voice, they talking strong to me, so I automatically my flesh want to get stronger. You know, so yes, I understand exactly where Sister Lisa coming from.
You understand what time we do. This is a politically correct world. They're looking for something to rub them the wrong way, or something that you can say and accuse you of. It's just a simple matter that you gotta be a little bit sensitive to what you say. And,
yes.
Oh, that was really good how you brought that up to the guy, because it could have turned the wrong direction real quick.
Yes, it could have.
An offended world.
Yes. Yes, that's great.
Everybody. But I also think we live in a very broken world.
Yes.
So a lot of times, there's people who are hurting. Maybe they've been abused or mistreated. And sometimes, I do think, like the brother said, we've got to be sensitive to that, because I think we can do damage.
Yes, that's right.
You don't know why, like she was saying, you don't know why they are like that.
Yes.
You haven't been in their situation.
That's right.
You may have received it wrong. But I think sometimes you just got to put yourself in their shoes.
Yes.
Think, well, I probably would act the same way if I had gone through what they did.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. That's good. Communication is powerful, and the process of speaking, listening, assigning meaning to words result in consequences, both good and bad. Relationships are developed on the foundation of communication, and they can either be strengthened or destroyed. The words we speak, good communication can edify, correct, strengthen. Other draw us closer to God, extend our invitation to others to experience the mercy of God. Here are a few things that I wrote down of some do's and don'ts for good communication. Start with love. Start with love. Start with love in your heart. Start with when you face a day, go out and say, hey, I want people to see the love of God. Use gracious words. Again, we said earlier, gracious means of all to show favor or kindness. Strive for peace. Strive for peace without all people. Tell the truth in love. Be gentle and patient. Focus on the interests of others. Listen well. And even your body language. Don't use words to break down. Don't be argumentative. Don't be quick to speak. Don't interrupt and don't hear, but listen. But listen. We live in a socially connected world where every word is amplified. Everything we say is amplified. The environment makes it so easy to damage our witness through our words, according to Ephesians 4:29. All words can impart grace to others, but only if our words are not corrupt. Integrity. Keep your integrity. I remember when I turned 18 years old, I was somewhere. I can't remember. I think I ran into an uncle of mine we used to call him Uncle Tom, but his nickname was Hippie. I don't really know why, but everybody called him Hippie. Even his sons called him Hippie. But one of the greatest things he ever told me is he said there are a few things in life you need to always take with you is always keep God number one in your life. No, everything else is second. Always keep God number one in your life. Second, your name. Keep your name innocent. Keep integrity. That's the word you really use, integrity. Keep your name. If you ever tell that thing, one thing he told me, if you ever tell someone you're going to do something, do it. Don't not do it. Whatever it is, be sure, think what you're telling someone, and then do it. And then the third, he always threw in the third, was your credit. Keep your credit good. He said, you can buy, if you don't have no money, you can buy something on credit. But anyway. We have to keep our integrity in the way we live in front of our others and behind closed doors. Even if there's some stuff if you don't want to do things in front of the family, don't take it to your job and do it in front of them. If there's some stuff you do at work but you won't do in front of your family, don't do that either. But good breathing. but anyway, the way we communicate is an expression of our religious faith or lack thereof. The underscore the critical importance of communication is in the life of a believer. According to James, we cannot tame the tongue on our own. All communication must be governed by the word of God. We can tell a lot about people by the words they say. Amen. I can tell anybody, I ain't gonna say me, but any person that been around truth long enough and got a deep prayer life can tell where your heart belong to, where your heart is within 5 to 10 minutes of a conversation. Because somewhere in that conversation, you're gonna bring God up. Whether it's, man, God woke me up, or God is good, or there's something gonna be said that come from your heart. that come from your heart. Luke 6:45, when the hearts are full of goodness of God, our communication is bless others. What we say matters. We will be held accountable for every word we speak. Section 2, principle for godly communication. Our testimony enhances when our communication is characterized by the graces of an appealing tone. A Christian growing in God's grace and seeking to deepen our relationship with Him, we should be intentional, engaging in communication that honor God. Will someone please find Colossians 4:6?
Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person.
Yes. Yes. Our communication should be accompanied by what? Grace. Grace. Our speech should be seasoned with what? Salt and wisdom. What kind of communication do you think reflect that our lives have been transformed by God?
Positive.
Sir?
Positive communication.
Anybody else? What kind of communication do you think reflect that our lives have been transformed by God? Brother Anthony, positive. Anybody else? Kind?
Godly?
Godly communication? I always use myself as an example because I know myself. I remember when I was... when I got saved, and I remember after I received the Holy Ghost that everything looked different. Everything was totally different. When I got baptized in Jesus' name, came out of the water, when I walked outside, the grass was green, the sky was a bluer. Everything was just totally different. But I also remember going to work and sitting in the break room. And I was blessed to have an apostolic preacher in my life that worked with me, a couple of more godly people, and sitting on just having a communication with them was different than what I was used to talking about. So I'm sitting in the break room, and I'm looking over here and hearing conversation that I used to would love to be involved with, but I didn't care about being involved with those conversations anymore. So godly communication, things change. You don't want to, you just don't want to be involved with things that is not godly anymore. What kind of communication hinder our reflection of what God has done in our life? What kind of communication has hindered our reflection of what God has done in our lives? Anybody?
Negative
communication. That's good.
Constantly putting things down or putting people down or putting the church down. Always talking about stuff that's negative.
Negative. Yes, that's good. Negative. That's good, Brother Anthony. Ephesians 4:29 encourages us to avoid corrupt communication. This includes communication that is unethical, dishonest, immoral, profane, fraudulent. There's some scriptures you can write down if you want to go home and read them. It's 1 Timothy 4:7, 6:20, 2 Timothy 2:16, and 1 Peter 3:10. On the other hand, communication that carry God's righteousness is an ethical, honest, moral, pure, truthful. To this end, the psalmist prayed that the word of his mouth would be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. Psalms 19:14, and that the Lord would set a guard over his mouth. We would do well also if we pray that of ourselves. The growth of communication technology has provided a means of scams and things that prey on people. These agents and different people use trickery and deceit and fraud to trick people out of millions and different things. We need to, their methods is corrupt communication. Believers, on the other hand, traffic truth. They honest. They truth. Or they share truth in everything they do. They seek for God in every way of their life. We can speak truth in a way that lead to reconciliation and reunion. Strive for unity and peace and refuge for years to come. Page 3, number 3, the other side of communication. Communication is not just the one-way act of speaking. A commitment to gracious communication should promote us to higher ways. The ways we listen to others, we reflect God's grace when we offer support and understanding by listening. Can someone please find Proverbs 18:2-13. Proverbs 18:2-13.
Whoever isolates himself seeks his... A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. In verse 13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame.
Okay. A fool has no delight in what? Verse 2. In understanding. The fool is concerned with expressing what? In verse 2.
His opinion.
In verse 13, if an answer is formed before the matter is heard, it result in what?
Father shame.
And how can we show other grace through listening? How can we show other grace through listening? Yes, that's right. Yes, we choose to listen, but we don't have to choose to hear. And listening is a very important communication. There is a distinct difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is involuntary, physical response to auditory stimuli. We do not need to think to hear. Hear, we just hear automatically. It's we could be sitting here reading a book, something, a noise take place. We just hear it. How many times have we been doing something? Something just scares us by a noise.
That's actually the first means of God reaching you is what you hear. Faith yes. comes by hearing.
Yes.
That's one of the very first things that's going to yes. get you
in the right
direction.
Yes. That is so true. walking outside, like Brother Randolph said, you're outside and you're hearing birds, you hearing things, animals, and you're hearing the noise from outside. That declared God. That helped bring faith in. But according to Ephesians 4:29, communication is good for edification. And sometimes a listening ear is exactly the kind of grace a person needs to receive from us. In those cases, it is more blessing to hear than to speak. The average person is able to speak about 150 to 175 words per minute. However, our minds are capable of comprehending speech over 2 times faster than that. Proverbs 18:2 describe a fool as one who would rather express his own heart than to understand the communication of another. Being a good listener is not difficult, but it requires our full attention. It's so easy to hear, not listen. You know, a lot of times, sometimes, listening to me take your full attention, because when you're listening will get in you. Listening will get into your mind. Listening will get into your heart. And anybody can hear stuff. You know, how many times have we gotten ourselves in trouble for just pretending to listen to somebody? All the men said, amen. You know, yeah, pretending to listening.
Is that where your wife says, you never listen to me? And then you say, what'd you say?
Yes.
Oops.
Oops. That's right. But easy just to hear and not listen. And our minds want us to go to our interests and not really paying full attention to the person we're talking to. Especially when you know, that's something we need to learn to do if we're out trying to win souls. We're out trying to make disciples. Don't go to somebody's house to teach a Bible study and your mind be way over there. Focus on them. Focus on the little stuff. If all they wanted to talk about is their kitty cat, pay attention to their kitty cat. Pay attention to everything they saying about that kitty cat, or that little doggy, or whatever is in their heart, because you can use that the next time you... And that would impact someone. But how is your little foo-foo doing today? You know? I mean, how was she? I mean, is she... You know, so it's important that we would pay attention and really listen to who we're speaking to. And because something can get said... and God is speaking to you to respond to them. So it is very important that we listen with just not our ear, but with our heart and with our mind. Can someone go ahead and find Ephesians 4:26-27? And then will somebody find 31-32? Ephesians 4:26-27, and then 31-32. Let's see. Part of our commitment to grow in our relationship with God and be led by His Spirit involves analyzing our relationship with others. Conflict may be present. Conflict may just pop up. in these relationships, but with God help, we can learn to navigate conflict in a gracious way. Delayed resolution of conflict provides an opportunity to the devil to seek and to destroy every good relationship in our lives. But communication help us find resolution. Can somebody read the scripture? And then 31 through 32.
Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Okay. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted,
yes,
one another, even as God in Christ for you.
Yes. In verse 26, what are we not to do when angry?
Sin.
Hey, sin is a big, broad area. The sun should not go down on what? Anger. I mean, don't go to bed angry. You don't get much sleep. Don't get much sleep. Verse 27. Who benefits if we do not resolve our conflict in a timely manner? The devil. Huh? And then verse 32. How are we supposed to forgive one another? How do we forgive one another?
Compassion
and kindness. All right. Let's see. Good. Anybody got anything to what they want to add on to any of this? Conflict. Conflict is a natural part of life that can cause division and distance in our relationship. However, conflict are provide opportunities for growth and can deepen our relationship, making them stronger in the long run. I think conflicts are sort of like our trials and errors and things that we face. There is conflicts that may occur, but with God's help, we can work through the conflicts. The difference in determined by the way we communicate through conflict. The first and the most important principle is to regard is a commitment to communicate. We can't just shut down if the conflict occurs. If we are talking with someone, or we are friend with someone, don't just shut down if there is a conflict. If there's something that happened within your relationship, friends, don't just shut down. Work it through it. Conflicts. Part of conflict is criticism. The freedom to share our feeling, even our complaints, serve to strengthen our relationship and not damage them. However, the way we communicate our complaints can turn them into criticism. The difference between complaint and criticism is the difference between the pronouns you and you. Complaints focus on what think or feel, but criticism turn turns into the spotlight on what you never or always do. Criticism are the result of hasty direct at the character of the other party and serve to undermine the relationship. Don't criticize anyone. Try to always bring positive words. Always bring loving words. Always try your best to think positive and bring positive things into a personal life. We live, let's see. One thing, we live in a world today that is easy to share things going on into your lives. Don't share stuff on social media. Keep everything private. Keep things privately. If somebody shares something with you, keep it privately. Keep the best thing you can do, if somebody shares something with you, keep it within yourself. Amen. Keep it to yourself. The best way to win a person to Christ is be faithful to them and what they tell you. You don't want someone to tell you something and you go spread it out across Facebook, across social media. Keep things in private. There's some stuff you don't want to spread around. And then, let's see, I'm trying to hit some high spots. We're running out of time. Here's some few things we want to help avoid conflict. Keep it private. Keep it private. In Matthew 18:15, Jesus said his followers to resolve their conflict in private. In a marriage, avoid arguing in front of children. Control the volume of your tone. Do not yell and scream or offense anyone. I remember one thing Brother Hill said in Sunday school a few times is, give yourself a trouble tree. Get yourself a trouble tree. A trouble tree is before you come in the house, hang your troubles on that tree. Amen. Come in the house. And that is very hard to do. That is hard to do. Never attack one another verbally or physically. If you get to a place that you feel like you need to attack someone, find that trouble tree. Never allow conflict to remain unresolved. The word tells us to, if you have something against your brother, go to your brother. Work it out. Clean your heart. I don't think, I believe that no matter what is going through, you going through with someone else, when you work it out to a place that you can go back to what it used to be. Don't never leave a circumstance to the place that it won't never be the same. That's one of the words I don't like to hear when someone say something like, I had issues with brother so-and-so. Are we good? Me and brother so-and-so good, but it won't never be the same. Why can't it be the same? If God is your God, forgive us. And then once he forgives us from the things we do in our life, everything the same. He don't hold no grudges. So why should we hold a grudge against somebody else? And in what area of communication do we need to improve in? There's some questions you can ask yourself. You don't have to answer them here, but in what area of communication do you need to improve? Question number two, how can listening improve your ability to communicate? Anyone would like to answer that? How can listening improve your ability to communicate?